Steve Greenberg of the Sporting News joins us. Steve, thanks for joining us here on Overtime.
Sure. Hi, guys.
Steve, this article about the Arkansas coaches has kind of hit, I guess, hit a hot button with Razorback fans in the state of Arkansas. First off, when were you conducting the interviews with these former head coaches or assistant coaches at Arkansas who are now head coaches, Paul Petrino, Paul Haynes, and John L. Smith?
In all three cases, it was after they found new jobs and started their new jobs. And that's actually how this story originated. Like most stories, it just came through working on something else. And for me, it started with a call to Paul Petrino, who I was interested in because I'd spoken with him in the spring and written kind of extensively about him in a story. And because he was at Idaho, where, you know, they're in tons of danger of dropping below FBS level, and I knew he wanted to work somewhere where he could send his kids through high school. So he was making a commitment, you know, that could overlap with having to drop a level of football, and that could be tough on his career. So it started with me reaching out to him to talk about him, but you know, and where he is now. But within that call, you know, I asked him, so what happened last year? Because, you know, I wanted to know if he thought that there was a taint on his reputation, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever. So that's where it all started. I mean, he answered the question as he answered it, and talked about, you know, some players I keep seeing on Twitter and, you know, other places, references to, you know, the whole team quitting and all that. Nobody said that. I mean, these coaches definitely didn't say that or even hint at that. They said that there were, you know, there were players, there were seniors. But anyway, that's where it started, and from there, I, you know, we sort of split up, which we during the off season do stories on every new FBS coach. Sorry for such a long answer, but Paul Haynes just also happened to be on my list. That originated as a coincidence, but so that made me contact him next. You know, at some point, I'm going to write a story on Paul Haynes and his new job, and mm-hmm. and so in talking to him, I asked him what happened. And that's just how it all started. And then at the end, I called John L.
Were you surprised? I mean, when you doing different stories, does sometimes the answer surprise you? Were you surprised with the answers they gave you?
I wasn't surprised that Paul Petrino was, I guess, forthright, or some people would probably take issue with, you know, with my choice of that word. I wasn't surprised that he just sort of spoke openly, because that's what he had done before. But I you know, I didn't really know him well. But, you know, the reason I was intrigued by him last year was because of how honestly he talked about having wanted jobs in the past, and where, you know, having interviewed for jobs and the disappointment of not getting them, and, you know, the decision about should I break away from my brother and all that. And then also he talked to me about Bobby Petrino last year during a, you know, awkward time, and I didn't know if he would talk about it, and he did. So I kind of thought he would, you know, I wasn't surprised to hear him say what he said, but I also didn't, you know, instantly realize that I had something that would turn out to be taken, you know, as this explosive. I mean, I knew it was something, but I didn't know it was, you know, quite what right. it was at the time.
Right. When you look back, Steve, and everybody remembers Tyler Wilson after the Alabama game this year, 52-0 defeat, and some of the coaching calls that were made in that game, and whether or not that made a difference in the game, who knows? Alabama was a very good football team, and Arkansas was playing without Tyler Wilson in that game.
Right.
But the statements he made after that game, did you ask them at all about that, and did they think that he meant specifically players, or did he mean some coaches as well?
That's a really interesting question. I didn't get at that, you know, that part of it. I really wanted to talk to Wilson and tried and thought mm-hmm. I would get to him because you know, I live in St. Louis, and one of the he's with Creative Artists now, CAA. Tyler right. Wilson is that's his agency, and they've got they're St. Louis based, and I've dealt with them with a lot of their players who were headed for the draft. I really thought I'd get him, and I thought I ought to get him and have him explain that, reflect on that now. And to me, you know, if he asked me, is there a hole in the story? It's that I didn't I didn't talk to him, give him, you know, and I just regretfully wasn't able to reach him, and then finally, you know, just got a no on talking about this because I, you know, wanted to be honest about what it was about and all that. So, but that's interesting what you say about, you know, did he mean not just players but up to the coach level? You know, the coaches, they Paul Petrino said something, and I think it's in the story that, you know, he questioned his own performance and the performance of the coaches in regard to their focus once they figured the writing's on the wall, you mm-hmm. know, none of us is likely to be here next year. He questioned their performance in that way, you know, maybe not very explicitly, but he certainly blamed some players more explicitly. But I thought that was still a noteworthy thing.
Did,
you know,
he,
that he said that.
Did he call specific players out and you elected not to use them in the article, or did he just say players and not call them specifically by name or position?
No, that was a factual line in the story that that these coaches did not name specific players.
Did they say seniors or people? Because I, after reading your
yes.
article, and it was
yeah.
seniors and then some
seniors
people.
Seniors or upperclassmen, you know, both those words were used. And it was confined to seniors and, you know, upperclassmen, which I take to mean, you know, somebody who's draft eligible, because they were all putting it in the NFL context, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
so,
do you think that that might hurt some of their chances at the NFL level? If, I mean, obviously this story's out there that some of these players that might have actually really been hurt, that the coach is saying, well, there's one,
well,
that,
and here,
you know, was hurt and didn't.
Well, I my take is no, but, you know, Matt would know, might know better. I mean, I would think no, because of the vetting process, you know, with mm-hmm. NFL teams. They're pretty thorough, and I think they that any, you know, they get a sense of who somebody is and find out much more about them than could be found out from my story, you know, which in regard to any players is, it's obviously just speculative. And I didn't, you know, want to – I really had a wrestled with naming anybody in the story, any players, because of the fact that the coaches didn't. And I went back and forth with my, you know, this is part of the behind-the-scenes journalism part of it, you know, with the office. I kind of was inclined originally to think that putting any players' names in the story at all was suggestive, you know, and that some people, if nothing else, would read it like, well, these coaches probably named these guys, but, you know, the writers said they didn't name anybody, but in fact, they didn't name anybody. And, you know, I did know, you know, what was my first instinct when I heard these quotes? I dove right into, well, who played and who didn't. And I just think that that's what people would be interested in at that point, you know, and in talking to people, got the sense that there were some players at Arkansas, you know, who there was already such talk about among fans, you know, why isn't he playing? Shouldn't he be playing? Could he be playing? And all that. And, anyway, that's more than you asked about, but that was my thought process.
Yeah, okay. And coming back to the point I was going to ask you about and make it, and what you kind of said a little bit, the seniors and the upperclassmen that are getting ready to go to the draft, it just doesn't seem that like they would be the guys to quit and not go full speed because of what you said, that the scouts and the coaches are going to watch all the film. They're going to watch all their plays. If you're going to get drafted and have a chance, they're going to go watch all of your games. And if they see you in the first five games really going, and then the last four games, they're not going to draft you because they're going to say, well, what if we're two games out of the playoff hunt with mm-hmm. five games left? Are you just going to quit on the team? You know, so I just don't see that the players would actually not give the effort, because that it makes more sense for the seniors to stay in it, upperclassmen, if you're going to get drafted, to keep trying and giving 100%, because everything you do on that film, they will have a copy of it.
Well, for what it's worth, I think, you know, there's a distinction between playing, but playing without, you know, your best effort, let's say, and not playing, you know, being out with an injury that perhaps you could play through if you wanted to. I mean, that I think that what the coaches were saying, you know, was that there were players who didn't play, who could have played.
Mm-hmm. They were injured, had a nagging injury
practice,
that wasn't serious.
You know, that kind of stuff, right. Players who probably could have played if they, like, it's like what Paul Petrino said, which, you know, single quote, you know, during this whole process that kind of made my eyes open the widest was, you know, that there were guys who, you know, were saying they were hurt, and you know, I questioned whether they were. I mean, that's about as direct as,
yeah,
you know, as you can generalize about the situation without getting into specific players. But I mean, that was, you know, that's all about injuries, and so I think it's about players who weren't out there or sometimes weren't out there.
Steve Greenberg of the Sporting News joins us right now. He wrote an article yesterday, the title, Former Arkansas Coaches Say Players Quit on Team. But, Steve, also in there you talked to them about athletic director Jeff Long and the 10-month contract he gave John L. Smith and the fact that the coaches, the assistant coaches, they thought they had a chance for the head coaching job, but also the fact that them saying that that 10-month contract didn't show a lot of, I guess, belief in the fact that they could get the job done, and that had an adverse effect on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that came before the, you know, the rest of it in this was the feeling that it all started with the way the players took the this tentative seeming nature and the way it was spun in the media, and that just sort of the players were felt like, well, this is somebody we don't have to necessarily listen to because, you know, we'll be here longer than he'll be here or whatever. I don't know if I think that it probably affected everybody similarly. If you look at what happened at Ohio State, and I've talked to Luke Fickell, who was the interim coach there,
right,
in between Tressel and Urban Meyer, and it was awful, you know, but didn't get as bad as it did at Arkansas. They were, you know, they were still Ohio State and talent-wise projected as the best in the Big Ten and all that, and they went, I guess, 6-7, I think, after a bowl game. But, you know, it was certainly similar to what happened there. And you know, you've got people who, I mean, I don't pretend to know what it's like to, you know, be out at practice every day and be in the locker room, you know, with the proverbial group of guys, you know, going through something like that at the college level. But I can guess that, you know, it can be very, very distracting if you're in a situation like that. Not necessarily above the surface either, you know, but as you just go about your job, doesn't mean that your heart isn't in the right place, you know, or that your head isn't usually in the right place and all that. But, you know, this is life, and if you're a coach and you've got a family and all those types of things, that I would imagine it could certainly affect you, and it could certainly affect a player. You know, it's like if you have a job and you develop a sort of relationship with or trust you know, in a manager who thinks you do a good job and gives you certain tasks that you like, and you know he's not going to be there, you know, you start to worry about how you're going to fit in.
Steve Greenberg of the Sporting News, real quick, we've got about 30 seconds left. You tried to reach out to Jeff Long, but he declined comment?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Just wanted to make sure that we got that clear. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.